mind one toward another, mind not high things, but condescend to men of low estate. Be not wise in your own conceits. And I looked at the definitions and tried to read that out. I think Paul, from where we see in verse number 3, he says, "For I say, through the grace given unto me." These are the areas that we must consider in our life. You got to do the evaluation. And the Holy Spirit can prick our hearts. It can bring about conviction if that's what happens. But really, this is like self-improvement. This is like remodeling of our character and of our compassion and our love. Now, I got a few scriptures I want to read to you before we get into the lesson. In second, and you don't have to turn to all these, but you can if you want to. In 2 Timothy, just to remind us of the importance of what we're reading here tonight. Verse 16, all scriptures given by inspiration of God and is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness, that the man of God or woman of God may be perfect, truly furnished unto all good works. And in Romans 8:29, remember what the goal is for us. It says, "For whom he did foreknow, he also did predestinate to be conformed to the image of his Son, that he might be the firstborn among many brethren." In 1 Corinthians 15, verse 49, Bible says, "And as we have borne the image of the earthly, we shall also bear the image of the heavenly." And I'm also reminded in Philippians 1, 6, it says, and I better go there because my thought to quote it didn't start off too good. 1, 6 says, "Being confident of this very thing, that he which hath begun a good work in you will perform it unto the day of Jesus Christ." In our Christian life, in our walk of faith, if you want to call it whatever, and if you're saved, you must understand that we gotta grow. And we're not talking about a physical stature. We're not really talking about growing. And I know this may sound odd, but this doesn't really even mean that we're going to have to grow spiritually. I mean, it's going to be by the Spirit of God that our character is grown. And when you back up a little bit and you see some of these things that Paul has brought forth, and like in verse 9, "Let love be without dissimulation. Abhor that which is evil, cleave to that which is good, being kindly affectionate one to another with brotherly love and honor, preferring one another." We can do good at that, and there's no doubt that we do many times, but you know what? I think that we can even improve on how we are today. I think that Abraham proved that in his life as he progressed. I think Moses improved, even though he may be messed up by smiting the rock twice. He began to grow in ways that we must do. In John 13, 34, it says, "A new commandment," this is Jesus speaking, "I give unto you that ye love one another as I have loved you, that ye also love one another. By this shall all men know that ye are my disciples, if ye have love one for another." So as we get ready to go into this section and really backing up and looking at what we see here, we have hope of eternal life. And hopefully you're secure in that hope. But our forgiveness and our love and our compassion and the way we treat people in everyday life, how we talk to people on the phone, how we whatever, really matters to Jesus. And it really matters whether it reveals that we're being like Jesus or not. Now, I know that I have tendencies, and I've recognized some of them over the last few years that are similar to, and my wife really likes this because I've seen with dealing with my dad and my mom as they get older, I have tendencies of their thoughts. Some of them are not all that good, and some of them are good. But I got to remember that so that if those bad ones, I got to call those out and try to make the best of the good qualities that are there. But here's the thing. Those are human traits. Those are earthly traits. We're talking about spiritual traits. We're talking about loving. We're talking about, and as we said, be of the same mind. Now that doesn't mean identical, same mind. In other words, I'm going to love Brother Bill, and I'm going to love Miss May, and I'm going to love everybody the same. And I know that's not always the simplest thing to do, but that's what we're supposed to do. And here's the thing. When we get to scriptures like this, most people say, okay, here we go. This is not legalism. This is not, you know, whatever clothing. This is not whatever you want to call it. This is rubber meets the road Christianity, Christ-likeness that we need to be. He goes on, recompense no man evil for evil. Provide things honest in the sight of how many men? How many men? All men. If it be possible, as much as lieth in you, live peaceably with all men. In all of our interactions, everything that we do, we need to treat everybody equally. Everybody fairly. Now, look, my grandchildren, I love them more than someone else's grandchildren, but I still should treat them with the same as I do others. And if I get to know that kid, I'm going to grow to where I love them too. But, you know, there are people in our life that we have a greater affection for because we have a closer connection. We're around them more. We have that time with them and we interact with them. It says in verse 19, dearly beloved, avenge not yourselves, but rather give place unto wrath. For it is written, vengeance is mine, I will repay, saith the Lord. This for me reminds me of us considering the judgment of someone else because they may have messed up in our eyes. And I don't have the scripture written down, but remember where Paul was talking about all the different bad things, drunkards and revilers and extortioners. And then he comes in the next verse and says, such were some of you. He's talking to the Corinthian church. I think that's where that's at. Us in this church, if you're saved, the difference between you and the lost world is that you are redeemed by Jesus Christ's blood. That's the difference. And what's the difference after that makes how much we want to change ourselves, how much more we want to be like Jesus. And if we take a good analysis of ourselves, we'll probably find out that we are lacking in areas. So what do we do with those areas that we lack in? First, there has to be the evaluation. There has to be a spot there where you say, you know what? Here's an area that God has revealed to me in His Word that I need to improve in. Don't say that I can't change. Don't say that. Don't say that's not for me, because it is for us. And I get a lot from reading about Jesus just like the rich young ruler. Here was a covetous rich man, and Jesus, it says, loved him. He didn't turn to Jesus Christ. He didn't put his faith and trust in him. And he didn't talk to Jesus in a bad way, but Jesus loved him. And even as Jesus is hanging on the cross, he said, Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. And I don't think that was just, as I've said before, I don't think that was a blanket statement. I don't think he was saying that just to cover everybody. I believe he really meant it. Y'all think he really meant it? So when we go through tough times, and someone does something to us, we need to remember this verse that the Bible says, vengeance is mine, I will repay, saith the Lord. He's going to take care of it in the end. There's going to be no need for Rick to think about the judgment of someone else. And then I have to weigh that balance to where I need to remember what God told Ezekiel, that if I know if there's a sinner that is standing in judgment of God, I've got to figure out how to tell them. But I'm not the judge. I'm not the one that brings the judgment. And I'm not the one that's even weighing it during this life, because that doesn't count. Now again, I can tell someone if they're right or they're wrong according to the scriptures, but I'm not the one that's going to bring forth that judgment. I need to remember that when I share that with them, that Jesus will forgive them and restore them from all of those things. Every last one of them. That's why we see someone like Paul, that was Saul, that was a persecutor of the church. He was going to imprison more Christians, and when he finally saw the light of the gospel, he turned to Jesus Christ and said, "What will you have me to do?" There was a dramatic change in Paul's life. And then Paul stated, I think it was in chapter 7, what I want to do, I don't do, and what I should do, I don't do it. There's a physical or a fleshly spiritual struggle in all of us. So remember, there must be a devoted effort in our life to remember our character counts. Now, if someone thinks that we go overboard, or someone thinks that we messed up, and they maybe they say it to you, most people won't. They'll just wait and tell somebody else. You know, that'll be fine, you know. But when we know we've messed up with somebody, you know you've offended somebody. What's the steps that we take? We don't just say, "Well, man, that was tough about that, wasn't it?" The first thing we do an analysis, just like what I'm sharing with you. When we say something, do something to somebody, we take an analysis and say, "Okay, God, you've shown me that I should not have done that. I know that. Now I've got knowledge. And what I do with knowledge, I turn it into wisdom. I know how to respond. If I've done something to somebody, I may not be in the wrong. I may have just done something that offended somebody. What do I do?" My wife is better at this than I am. You go to that person and say, "Look, I think maybe you got offended," or, and we use, that's a Bible term, "maybe I hurt your feelings. I said something wrong and you took it and it hurt you. I want to say that I hope you get over it." Tammy's over here going, "No, that's not going to work." I say, "Please forgive me. I'm sorry." Now, if that person looked at you and goes, "I'm having nothing to do with it," you've done your part. Now, you don't give up on the reconciliation, but you have asked for forgiveness. Okay? If you think about something in the next day, week, month that you've done, go and get it right with that person. They may not even think about it, but you may have done it and you have a mental tag in your mind that says, "I did that." Maybe it's something that God has asked you to do. Don't forget about it. When you're having your time and you're in the Word of God and your time of prayer, say, "Lord, you brought this to my attention. I need to cover it with you. What do I need to do? I'm asking you to forgive me of this. What do I need to do?" And God's going to show you. It can be in a lot of different ways. Let's move on. He says, "Therefore, if thine enemy," and like I say, this is our relationship with our brothers and our sisters, and he's going to talk about this for another chapter or two. He said, "Therefore, if thine enemy hunger, feed him. If he thirst, give him drink. And for in so doing, thou shalt heap coals of fire on his head. And here's my key phrase for tonight. Be not overcome of evil, but overcome evil with good. Whether it works out or not, whether it's accepted or not, overcome evil with good. Jesus was coming to an evil world, and how did he overcome evil with good? He died for them on the cross. He completed the gospel. He came to save an evil world, and here it says that if you have an enemy and they have a need, in other words, they hunger, they have a need, what do? You fulfill that need. If they have a thirst for something, you fulfill that need. And you say, well, there's that food and water. It can go beyond that. It can go beyond that. So I just want to remind us here tonight that while we, as Paul says, have experienced the grace of God, we need to remember that we need to share that grace of God with other people. In Matthew chapter 5, a couple of verses, verse 39, we'll just start with 38. But ye have heard that it hath been said, an eye for an eye and a tooth for a tooth. How many of y'all live grade school that way? Somebody kicks me, I'm kicking them back. Somebody spills your milk, I'm spilling theirs or something. I'm getting back, I'm getting even. Jesus said, you've heard that, but I say unto you that ye resist not evil, but whosoever shall smite thee on thy right cheek, turn to him the other also. And if any man will sue thee at law and take away thy cloak, let him have thy cloak also. Or thy coat, let him have thy cloak also. And whosoever shall compel thee to go a mile, go with him twain. In other words, go another mile with him. Give to him that ask thee, and from him that would borrow of thee, turn not thou away. Sounds like to me if they find out that you're a giving person, you could end up with empty pockets. Could. My dad is a giving person. There was a guy that worked at our grocery store named Jackie Merle. If he's listening, he's probably going, oh no. Jackie Merle, in a 3 or 4 year span, Brother Lee, that this is no joke, owned 149 cars. He didn't have a car dealership. He drank a little bit, and on the weekends, a lot of times, Brother Bill, he'd almost always come back with a different vehicle. He would either need money, sell his, and go buy another one. The only car I've ever seen that was completely spray painted with a can, with stars and stripes in the whole nine yard, and it looked pretty bad. And my dad would loan him money and loan him money and loan him money. And y'all know the deal, you know, he kept. And Jackie would come to work, and then one day he wouldn't show up for 6 months. And then he'd come crawling back. And what would my dad do? Take him back. I'm not saying that's the order of business, but I'm here to tell you that that's a pretty good model for this world and us to treat people. In Proverbs 20:22, it says, say not, I will recompense evil, but wait on the Lord, and he shall save thee. Whatever you're thinking the judgment is, whatever you're thinking that should happen, remember that God is going to judge and take care of every situation a lot better than we will. He's going to do it right. He's going to do it just. He's going to be fair. He's not going to mess up. Another verse in Matthew 10. He says, and whosoever, verse 42, and whosoever shall give to drink to one of these little ones a cup of cold water only in the name of a disciple, verily I say unto you, he shall in no wise lose his reward. You've heard it said that he that to whom much is given, what? Much is required. You're sitting here tonight, and every time that the Word of God is preached and expounded, you receive more light from the Word of God. You're responsible for more each and every time. But again, I want to remind you that the reason why Bible studies like this kind of go awry is because a lot of times we think, you know what? This is just the technical stuff. Now, I could bring up a lot of different things, but just think of a technical something. Jace was, you played music, right? So if you were on your guitar and you had one amp and you were playing, and all of a sudden that amp just goes quiet, what's the rest of the band do? Somebody in the background is going to see if they can get that amp back up, right? That's a technical thing. So when one of us goes quiet from the things of the Christ likeness that we're supposed to have, we're not complete. We're not fully operating as we should. So we got to remember this. We got to remember that, and the way to do this is to overcome evil with good. Look back at verse 20 again. It says that shall heap coals of fire on his head. Now, I've heard a lot of different analysis of this. And the one that I'm going to stick with is treat them good and they're going to wonder why you did it. Treat them good, they're going to wonder why you did it. They, just like Stephen, when he was being stoned, he did just like Christ. He said, lay not this sin to their charge. I still believe that part of what he said had something to do with Saul, which became Paul in his conversion. I think he saw and heard something that he did not recognize in Stephen. And you know what? Jesus said, you've heard an eye for an eye and a tooth for a tooth. And we think that's Old Testament. It's really not. Jesus, or in the Old Testament, God taught a lot about helping the strangers, about giving water, about helping those that came down your pathway. So just remember that for us to apply this, we got to remember that we must be Christ-like. Chapter 13. This is where it continues. You know, back in the day, they didn't have chapter breaks, so this would have been a continuing. It said, overcome, be not overcome of evil, but overcome evil with good. Let every soul be subject unto the higher powers, for there is no power but of God. The powers that be are ordained of God. I won't say anything about the current president, but I remember when Obama was in office, I didn't care for some of the things that he did. But I still prayed for him. Because this verse and other verses you can find let me know that God allowed that man to be in office. And I know we think, well, if we'd have just got enough Christians to vote, we'd have, whatever. That's true, technically. But God is allowing in America and in other countries people to rise to power for whatever reason. And you know what? He's going to overcome evil with what? Good. Persecution in the book of Acts, the gospel flourished like it never did. I mean, Jesus did a great work while he was here, but in just a short few days in the book of Acts, they had 8,000 people got saved. We don't get numbers like that from Jesus. We see where he fed the 5,000 and the 4,000, which could have easily been either 20 or about 15,000 in either one of those cases, with women and children, both. I understand that. But here's people that it says that they got saved and people that got baptized joining a church. I'm sure that Bill White, if there's not 120 here, but if we grew at that rate, that would mean that we would probably have in the neighborhood of about 2,500 new people, Jace, in about 2 weeks. That guy right there is going to be trying to get all their names, because when they're baptized, we're supposed to put them on our church row, right? I'm thinking he would try to get him a secretary to help him out. He's grinning right now, I'm just telling you. Because we've had some people get baptized. He said, what were their names? So persecution brings that stuff, but I'm telling you, the powers that it says there, the powers that be are ordained of God. So that means in this government, in this society that we are in, God is ordained. He has identified himself with these people. Now, it doesn't mean they're all godly, because they're definitely not. Whosoever therefore resisteth the power, resisteth the ordinance of God, and they that resist shall receive to themselves damnation. We see the defund police. You know, the thing that we could do to help offset that is just respect our police officers even more than we do normally. I used not to, but I try to now just kind of pat a policeman on the shoulder or say, hey, man, I appreciate what you're doing. It's not a great big thing. It's just like Jace, you know, he's a first responder. We appreciate what he does, right? And those people are in a position of authority. And I get the stories from Nick, and I don't get the police stories, but I get the fire. They go into some pretty odd places. Jace is smiling. He knows what I'm talking about. I mean, Nick has told me stories, and I'm like, you did what to where to what? And Jenny's brother's the same, paramedic for 15 or 20 years, gives accounts of places that they go that are kind of frightening. And those are not even police stories. So we see these policemen in these high-pressure situations. We need to remember that we need to respect them. It's easy for us to say all they have to do is not resist arrest. That's true. Amen? But we need to pray for our policemen. We need to pray for our mayors. Even when they're spending the city's money wrong, even when they're making decisions that don't go to suit our state governor, when he's making and giving COVID sanctions or whatever that we disagree with, pray for him. I mean, I think our state governor, I think he needs to get saved. He's got a ways to go, but I don't know his heart. A few more verses, Matthew 22. Verse 21, and we'll back up here a little bit. We're going to talk about taxes. How y'all like taxes? If y'all get a return every year, you're unlike me. I usually get zero back. I have to pay every year. This last year is the first year I haven't had to pay. That's because I paid so much the year before. My guy said I paid more than I needed. But look at what it says here in verse 17. Tell us therefore, what thinkest thou? Is it lawful to give tribute unto Caesar or not? They're asking Jesus this question. And Jesus perceived their wickedness and said, why tempt ye me, ye hypocrite? Show me the tribute money. And they brought him a penny, and he saith unto them, whose image and superscription? They said unto him, Caesar. Then said he unto them, render therefore unto Caesar the things that are Caesar's. And here where it falls over into us, and unto God the things that are God's. What does God own? Huh? More specifically, here in the building. We're bought with a price. He owns us. I've been trying to memorize this verse. We'll see how it works. Isaiah 43:1, but thus saith the Lord that created thee, O Jacob, and hath formed thee, O Israel. Fear not, for I have redeemed thee. I have called thee by name, and are mine, and you are mine. We're not our own. We're owned by God. We should give ourselves to God in our fleshly actions. And that can revolve back to what we were talking about earlier about all these different things, about these character traits and stuff. In John 19, I quoted this verse earlier, but let's go and read it. 19:11. I'm sorry, this is a different verse, sorry. And we'll start at verse 9. Then Pilate said unto him, Speakest thou not unto me? Knowest thou not that I have power to crucify thee and have power to release thee? Jesus answered, Thou couldest have no power at all except against me, except it were given thee from above. Therefore he that delivereth me unto thee hath the greater sin. Jesus is, in essence, saying, hey, look, you wouldn't even be Pilate if God hadn't allowed you to be Pilate. In other words, the governor. Any comments or questions? This civil government that we live in, think if you lived in a foreign country and there were different governments, you would have to think a little bit differently about this, but you'd have to apply it the same way. Now let's move on. Verse 3. For rulers are not a terror to good works, but to the evil. Wilt thou then not be afraid of the power? Do that which is good, and thou shalt have praise of the same. That goes back to us respecting the police, the sheriff, anyone that's in authority. Sometimes things are out of their control. Sometimes things are not operating the way they should. Sometimes we see people resist arrest. Sometimes we see people do things that are not right. And sometimes they don't have the best intentions. But I want to remind you in 12:19, dearly beloved, avenge not yourselves, but rather give place unto wrath. For it is written, vengeance is mine, I will repay, saith the Lord. I don't recall Paul in any of his letters or while he was in the Philippian jail, I don't recall him saying, hey, you need to tell that jailer he needs to let me loose. The only time I can think that he said something like that is when they were going to let him out of jail in the Philippian jail. And he said, no, send the people that put me in here and let them come unlock the door and let me out. Those that put us in here wrongly. But he never pushed against him. He never said anything. Verse 4, but he is the minister of God to thee for good. If you're in a wreck, who are you going to call? Who are you going to call? 911, right? Jace could explain it a lot better than me, but that chain of events is pretty unique. You call that person. I remember when my dad was sick and it ended up, they said he had COVID, made the call, and they were there within 5 minutes. Of course, it was the middle of the night, so they were probably sitting at the station soon as they got the call. But the 911 person calls me, gets my address, puts me on hold, says, stay right there. They make the call. While I'm talking to them, I walk in the house after I get off the phone call, gave her some information. They pulled right in the driveway. And what are they doing? They're wanting to know where we're going. I've already told her where we're going. They've already called Central Baptist. They've already got all that stuff worked out. They're working it for our good. They're trying to help us. But remember how many people you affect when we have something like that going on in our time. See, these things are for us to see the world as it is. And to see in this world, we need to be a certain way. Look on in this same verse. But if thou do that which is evil, be afraid. For he beareth not the sword in vain, but he is the minister of God, a revenger to execute wrath upon him that doeth evil. Wherefore ye must needs be subject, not only for wrath, but also conscience sakes. Now we could go through all of these verses, but I want to come on down to verse 8. It says, owe no man anything but love one another. For he that loveth another hath fulfilled the law. What law? Paul, I think, is still banking in chapter 3, the law of faith. In other words, these people that are in control and people that are in charge, there is a need for us to have faith in them. So tonight, as we close our time, I want you to just remember, take an evaluation of yourself. I can't do it. These verses can be, you can read back over them and let God share with you those things. And I don't know what you'll come up with. But I know as I read them, I seen things that I needed to look at in my life and make right. Okay? Let's all stand for a word of prayer. Father, thank you for this day. I thank you for your word. Lord, I just pray that tonight, Lord, we would analyze ourselves. And I pray not only for that, I pray for the Holy Spirit of God to help analyze us. As David said, search me, O God, and see if there be any wicked way in us. And again, these scriptures are not always talking about sinful actions, but they're maybe corrective, more Christ-like corrections that we need to make in our life. I thank you for Jesus. I want to know him more. I want to know more about him, but I want to be more like him as well. That's his desire, that we would be more like him. And it's not a prideful thing from his vantage point, but he knows it will be honoring to him and his Father. So pray, Lord, for those thoughts and things that we have going on in our mind. Help us to meditate on them as we go through the day and through this evening. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.